Chapter 13. Corin straightened up, then brushed dust from the shoulders of his green Jedi overrobe. "I'm Corin Horn. My aide here is Ganner Rysode. We've come to..." The woman cut him off, and the two young men with her leveled their blaster carbines at the Jedi. "I know why you're here, and I'm not going to let you get away with it." Ganner laughed. "You think they could stop us?" Illustrating his point, he flicked a finger upward, and the two young men suddenly pointed their blasters at the sky. They struggled to bring them back down on target, then clung to the weapons as Ganner lifted the youths off the ground and left them with their feet dangling in the air. Corin flicked a sharp glance in his direction. "Put them down, now, and gently." He turned to the woman, noting that her expression had gone from sour to incendiary. "I apologize for his enthusiasm, but I have to tell you that I don't have any clue as to why you think we're here." The woman laughed. "I may have been here for 3 months with my students, but I'm not entirely off the net. I hear things." She narrowed her eyes behind her goggles. "You said your name was Horn, right? You were with Rogue Squadron?" Corin nodded. "Only became a Jedi Knight after peace with the Empire." "You weren't at Marilst, were you?"
"Before my time. I served with a lot of the people who were. Wedge Antilles, Hobby Clivian, Wes Jansen, Tico Selchu. They're retired now."
Corin got mixed signals coming off her as he recited the names. She certainly recognized some of them, but pretty much anyone in the New Republic could be expected to know some names from Rogue Squadron.
"You were there? At the university?"
"I was. I was working on my doctorate."
The trace of a smile softened her expression.
"I didn't know the Rogues, but I had friends who met them. One went on to work for the squadron."
"Koyi Komad?
I've met her."
Corin kept his voice even. Annoyance and frustration were boiling off Ganner, but the woman was letting her anger settle down.
"She got married. Must be 14 or 15 years ago. She married a Quarren from the squadron, as a matter of fact."
"I know. I was there at the wedding."
Corin smiled.
"Really?
I was an usher.
Didn't have a beard then."
"I remember a lot of men in uniform."
She offered him her hand.
"I'm Anki Pace. I'm running this archaeological survey of Bimiel for the University of Agamar."
Corin noted stiffness in her grip and tension in her voice.
"Why is it you think we're here, Dr. Pace?"
"Various sites, archaeologically significant sites, have suffered thefts. The items, though they've not been studied enough for us to be certain, have been suggested to be related to the Jedi Knights before the Purge. They're priceless, of course, since the Empire tried to destroy as much of that material as they could. More importantly, though, they can tell us much of how the Jedi used to be."
"And you think Jedi Knights have been coming to these sites and taking these things?"
One of the young men snarled.
"I have a friend who was on a dig. They left another student at the site to watch over it at night. When they came back, stuff was gone, and she couldn't remember anything."
Corin's head came up.
"The thief had induced amnesia, so she couldn't remember who had taken the items that were missing?"
"No," the man spat. "She couldn't remember anything. All she'd learned that year and the year before was all gone. It was as if she'd missed 2 years of life. The Jedi can do that. They can blank your memories or make you remember things you didn't see."
Corin shivered. He had no talent for telekinesis, but he was adept at projecting thoughts and images into the minds of others. He'd even used that ability to dump people's short-term memories, the last 10 seconds of what they had seen, to blind them to covert entries and escapes.
"And I know Kip used that ability to wipe the memory of Kwai-Zooks, the architect of the Death Star and the Sun Crusher. He broke her, left her shattered. It was years before she was able to put her life back together and move on after that tragedy."
He glanced over at Ganner.
"What do you know of this sort of thing?"
Ganner reacted as if Corin had spit in his face.
"Nothing. I have no knowledge of thefts, and I would not stoop to same."
"Still, you are aware that certain artifacts have shown up on Yavin 4 that are being studied for their significance concerning the old order. Corin looked back at Dr. Pace. Some of these items I know have come from collectors. My wife has brokered the deals for many of them, and if the provenance was at all suspicious, I would know. Pace snorted.
All well and good for you to say. Just the sort of thing a Jedi would plant in my mind, so I couldn't suspect you of stealing what we found.
That's ridiculous. Ganner folded his arms across his chest. How dare you accuse us of being thieves? The other young man barked a quick laugh. My parents came from Kurita. There are other things I could call Jedi Knights.
Corin held his hands up.
Stop. This isn't going to get us anywhere. Now, me, I'm getting cold, and I'd like to get inside your cave there, but you aren't going to let us in until I can convince you that we're not here to poach your find. I think I can assure you that we aren't, if you'll answer one question.
Dr. Pace cocked her head to the side.
And that is? Have you sent out any messages about this find?
She frowned for a moment, then shook her head.
No. We drafted the messages, but couldn't raise the satellite. No way you could have known what we found.
The first youth shook his head.
That's not right, Dr. Pace. The Jedi have visions. They can see into the future. That's how they knew we'd found it.
Corin glanced at Ganner.
You want to take it?
If I must.
The taller Jedi shrugged, spilling dust from his shoulders.
That ability is rare, and one we have little control over. Logically, if we could peer into the future, don't you think we would have come here before you found whatever you found and would have removed it?
The young man frowned.
Well, I don't know.
Corin winked at the kid.
Don't think too long on it, or you'll figure we've planted the memory of this conversation. You'll end up going around and around in your mind and drive yourself to distraction.
Dr. Pace patted the youth on the shoulder.
Vil, you and Denna go back to your posts. I think the slash rats are all tied up in a kill ball, but they might come for us, so you'll discourage them.
Yes, Dr. Pace.
Pace looked at Corin.
So why are you here?
We've had reports of some raiding along the rim. The university hadn't heard from you and asked if we could check in on you. We were afraid you'd been raided, so we came out.
Dr. Pace frowned.
What sort of raiding? Humans?
Ganner shifted his shoulders.
Non-human, we think.
Interesting.
She turned toward the cave, then waved Corin and Ganner in her wake.
Come with me.
They followed and passed between tarps that had been hung to seal the mouth of the cave. Beyond the first set, Corin saw another about 5 meters deeper into the cave. The area between them had been set with a number of buckets filled with a dark, frothy liquid that reminded Corin of engine coolant. It stank horribly. The cloying scent wafted easily through the rebreather's dust filters and coated the back of his throat. Pace unsealed the second tarp wall, then closed it behind them. She pulled off her rebreather and took a deep breath. Corin did the same, and even though he could still smell some of the liquid, the air tasted much sweeter. He jerked a thumb at the tarps.
What is that stuff in the buckets?
Pace looked over at a knot of students deeper in the caves.
Trista, come here, please.
A slender, black-haired woman that Corin judged to be half his age came walking over. She had a pert nose and just a touch of dirt on her face that somehow enhanced her beauty rather than detracted from it.
Yes, Dr. Pace?
These Jedi are interested in your theories about the ecology of Bimio.
Pace waved her forward.
This is Trista Orlanis, one of my graduate students.
Pleased to meet you.
The young woman smiled, letting her smile linger more in Ganner's direction than Corin's, which Corin found a minor annoyance.
Are you familiar with the Imperial Survey?
Ganner nodded.
I read it and briefed Corin.
Trista's smile broadened.
Well then, you know that the Imperial team came here as Bimiel was inbound in its elliptical orbit. As the planet nears the sun, it warms up naturally, and the ice caps begin to melt. The resulting moisture triggers an abundance of plant growth. The heat also brings the Shwapi out of hibernation. They are herbivores, so they eat, multiply, and eat more. They don't digest most of the seeds, so they excrete them, sheathing the seeds with organic fertilizer. Certain other animals cannot tolerate the heat, so they retreat toward the polar regions, while the Shwepi population explodes. Then, as the planet begins to move away from the sun, the planet cools, which frees these creatures from their ranges to sweep into the equatorial areas. The Shwepi have overgrazed the world, allowing the storms to pick up and redistribute a lot of soil through wind erosion. Moisture collects in ice caps at the poles as the world cools, which is why it is so dry now. The predators, most notably the slash rats, are adept at moving through the resulting dunes. They hunt the Shwepi that have not found burrows in which to hibernate. Ganner nodded sagely. The Imperial Survey never saw the slash rats, since they were not in the survey area. True, they postulated the existence of such creatures, but didn't have enough time here to confirm that theory. Trista pointed toward the tarps. What we have back there is the essence of rendered slash rats. That's what they smell like after being several days dead. The slash rats move through the sand, tracing the scent that Shwepi leave behind as they move through or over the sand. The death scent keeps slash rats back. Most creatures consider the rotting scent of their own kind to be a sign of danger. We're safe enough in here because they can't come up through the bedrock that makes up these caves. Corin slipped his goggles up on his forehead and let his rebreather hang at his throat. I'm glad to know you're safe, but you didn't bring us in here for a lesson in Bimielian ecology, Dr. Pace. You reacted to the fact that the raiders weren't human. Perhaps you're not a total fool, Jedi. Dr. Pace waved Corin deeper into the cave. Ganner started to follow, but she held a hand up. No, you wait here. Him I trust. You I'm not sure. Ganner snorted, but said nothing. Corin tossed him a wink, then headed deeper into the cave. The passage began to shrink, so Corin stooped as he descended into the planet's flesh. The passageway also began to narrow, then broadened out abruptly and provided access to a large round chamber. Lights had been set up in it, and a half-dozen students were working with brushes and small trowels to shift sand around. Two other students were at a table running a digitizer over artifacts and monitoring the data coming up on their data pads. Dr. Pace stopped beside Corin. Until the storm trapped us in these caverns, we'd not looked much into them. We cleared sand from the passage and discovered this chamber. The sand in here was washed in with the rains, so it was laid down in even layers over the years at a fairly constant rate. We don't have a solid chronology, but as we began poking around, we discovered something that we think has been here for 40 years, maybe 50. She led him over to the computer table. Jens, call up scan AR-312. As the young woman punched up a request for that data, Dr. Pace faced Corin. We've recovered a body, the mummified remains of some creature. As nearly as we can make out, it retreated here and was felled by slash rats. The teeth marks on the long bones and ragged edges of dried flesh were consistent with... Corin stopped listening as the holographic image of a skull appeared above a holoprojector plate. It had a low cranial ridge, but was longer than a human skull. The features appeared sharper, and the computer enhanced the fracture lines and deformities on the face. The cheekbones had been broken and set oddly, so the face had a slope from right to left, and the nose bones had clearly been shattered. Emperor's black bones! Dr. Pace nodded. Not very pretty. Bony, with hooks and claws on the hands, elbows, shoulders, toes, heels, and knees. It killed at least 2 slash rats. It also had some artifacts that we recovered. Armor, some weapons. It's a major find. I've never seen anything like it. That's the problem, Doc. I have. Corin shuddered, remembering the images of the Yuuzhan Vong corpses he'd seen in Luke Skywalker's report. I think you've got one of the raiders there, and if they've been here once, there's little reason to think they won't be back.